The lights are on red. We're away.
Hello and welcome to Motopod, the internet radio show all about motorcycle road racing. This is episode number 284 for Wednesday, July 27th, 2011. My name is Jim Race. I am here with Jules Cusack, both of us in California. We just got back from Laguna Seca down in Monterey, California, on the coast, and had a brilliant time. Jules, that was a hell of a weekend, wasn't it, brother?
It was a good one.
Yeah, and we had the opportunity to hang out with a whole bunch of Motopod fans, which for me is kind of always the highlight of the year. And I have to give a massive shout out. I can't even name all the names for all the folks that actually came out and hung out with us on Saturday.
Correct. Yeah, it was excellent. And, you know, thanks very much for coming out. And also the people who were there but never actually made it to the meetup. We got a bunch of emails throughout the weekend. And we did run into some other folks, like on Sunday, especially people who only come in for race day, for example. Weather was good; was great. We didn't have any surprises, although the temperature differences between the mornings and evenings and afternoons were pretty substantial. So the teams really had to work extra hard.
Yeah. You have to admit, though, that we all got kind of surprised on Saturday with the overcast weather, and everybody was kind of walking around without hats or sunscreen. And after all of that happened, everybody ended up with raccoon eyes on Saturday night, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Because normally you get Laguna is always like foggy in the morning, but it usually burns off by like 10 o'clock. And this time it was pretty stubborn fog out there. So because I was walking around the track shooting and it just wouldn't let go. You know, it was like noon before we actually got sun, real sun.
Yeah. And it was very, very cool to have Mark Miller with us there for the whole weekend. And you guys will hear a bit of that as this goes on. But we, before that even goes in that direction, we've got a whole ton of interviews. Jules, it might be fun to just kind of dive into the interview that you did with Nick Harris.
Yeah, sure. It's an interview that was done on Friday, and we basically talk about everything and anything that comes up. So let's just dive into that one.
This is Jules Cusack from the Motopod, and I'm here with Nick Harris, who probably doesn't realize he's been a member of our show for about 6 years now, because we used a clip of your announcing, I think, in Australia around for like 2004 as part of our intro music.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Yeah, please. Oh, thank you. Well, I've really enjoyed it.
Lights go to red, and there they go.
Off the window. The usual Nick Harris start to right.
Exactly. So we're after FP2 in Laguna, and no surprise, really, at the top of Loretto.
No, I think they're two very different sessions because of the weather more than anything else. Yeah. Okay, which was funny, which would probably be the same on Saturday as well because of the misty conditions, and this afternoon things change. A few things to look at. I think Lorenzo, certainly since his victory at Mugello, and even Speed's winning at Aston, has really given Yamaha and the two riders, and Jorge in particular, a real newfound confidence, which is reflected probably in the way the championship is now. He's pegged back Stoner's advantage for 15 points, and yeah. I think that is absolutely brilliant. I think it's great for the championship. I mean, Gavin and I were talking in the last session on air, actually, to say that after Silverstone, when we sat there in the pouring rain, and Casey had ridden a race of all races, really, in those conditions. Yeah. We thought, this could be all over this championship. You know, by the time we get to Laguna, he could have such a big lead. Nobody can beat him now. He looks, you know, Yamaha pulled back the advantage, not enormously, but a great deal. And I think that's reflected in the session we've just seen as well. And You're throwing Danny Pedrosa, who sort of was out of the equation, not to win the championship, but to be there winning races and on the podium, and it makes a really interesting situation.
It does, and the racing is actually good too. So it's not just that the season is closed, but the racing is
That's actually, right, I mean, that. Let's be brutally honest, it hasn't been the greatest season of racing. Yeah. You've got to say, once the warmer weather has come along, Mugello and Saxon Ring, and one would imagine here, the racing has been a lot better, and the cold, wet conditions have played their part in, I think, one, so many crashes, so many broken collarbones, and two, made the riders very rightly so very cautious, because if they haven't been cautious, they've been crashing, haven't they?
Yeah,
the conditions have been
certain Marcos to themselves.
Marco, he's so popular wherever we go, and here I've noticed he's really, really, he's sort of the anti-hero, isn't he? Fans love him because of it,
I think so. Yeah.
And he's a very, very accomplished rider, obviously a world champion in the 250cc class, nicest car you'd ever wish to meet, but sometimes his heart rules his head. I think probably that's gone just a little bit over recent weeks, but that's the way he rides. But I suppose, again, despite great qualifying and practice and everything else, he still hasn't finished on a MotoGP podium, so I suspect he's looked at it as well and thought, well, actually, probably I do need to do something about this, because I'm throwing away some great opportunities. Jerez, I mean, he was leading the race. What did he crash? Second, third bend in Aston, obviously, crashed so early on. I mean, he had to stop that sort of thing, but it probably is. Dented a little bit of the way he rides, but it will come. He is a very talented rider.
Hopefully, he hasn't destroyed his enthusiasm.
No, I don't think it has. But I'm certain it hasn't. Actually, no. Probably just made him look a little bit more carefully. And that first podium will be a big step for him. I think once he gets that, it's like Ben Spies winning his first race. When that happens, it is psychologically, it's such a big step for these riders. And I'm sure when he gets his first podium, that will be a massive step for Simoncelli. Hope so, because I think he's another one in the mix then that is capable of those sort of finishes every week, and it just makes the racing more exciting, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've got six guys who are capable of winning.
Yeah, we have. I mean, and you look at Dovizioso. I mean, Mr. Consistency, and he knows better than anybody. He needs just to make that one big step, and he's going to be winning races consistently. But he's had a really good season, Dovizioso. The last few races, he has ridden really well. Just needs perhaps a break, and he can win a race very easily. And in mixed conditions, you've got to say he will win a race.
Oh, yeah.
But we just don't know the weather we've had so far. What the conditions going to be like? We are going to get some dodgy ones coming up before the end of the season, without a doubt. Bruno probably can be scorching hot there, but you get to places like Phillip Island, and places like that, the weather can be very, very mixed. Yeah.
You mentioned it about the weather before too, and it really makes the tires seem really a big part of the question.
Oh,
yeah. This year.
Yeah, I think this year in particular. I think the riders have felt that the two compounds that they've been given are probably too close together, and they want a little bit more cover. So hopefully in Bruno that is going to happen. But I think the weather conditions have found that out more than anything else. I mean, Saxon Ring last week, the Friday morning.
What a great race.
I mean, Friday morning, that first practice, really scary. Wasn't people just going down and that? That's like crashing at a corkscrew, but somewhere much, much faster. That turn 11 at the Saxon Ring is a very, very fast corner. Yeah.
That crash that Casey had when he kept holding on the bike.
Yeah, Stoner, Elias, Rossi, Pedrosa, wasn't it? All in that first session. And that was, it was windy, it was quite chilly, the tyres not warming up. I don't think this. Let's be clear, it's not going to be a problem.
Not in the race.
Definitely not in the race. We had two practice sessions, and I think Danny Pedrosa is the only one just to run off track and into the gravel. Did anybody?
I think Pierre Cal also went
off. Oh, sorry. He didn't actually crash, did he? I think a couple of times he ran over the drain cover at Corkscrew, didn't he? Yeah.
Oh, did he?
Yeah,
I saw a clip like Carol actually flip in the air.
This morning and this afternoon we've seen, but I think the conditions here are much more. Much better for the riders. Yeah.
Do you think that maybe we were a little bit spoiled by the mid-O's racing, like with Gibernau and Rossi? We have such close racing that's the era that we're kind of. Because, if you look back, like we had this kind of season when we were doing this.
Very much so, and even with Rossi later on, there's been some seasons when he's absolutely dominated everything. So, no, it's like all sport, there's good seasons and bad seasons. I think this season, certainly as far as the racing's gone this year, hasn't been the most exciting. The last two races have changed that a little bit. So we hope for the second half of the season, a fully fit Danny Pedrosa can, without a doubt, win races. I mean, he's already proved that, hasn't he? The title fight's getting much closer between Lorenzo. Yamaha have obviously stepped up to the mark a lot more as the season's progressed. Casey Stoner, like, was running away with it, is certainly not doing that now. So I really do believe that the second half of the season will be a lot closer.
Yeah, that's good.
We really care about that.
Of course.
We love MotoGP. We really are. Cam and I are really disappointed if we get a boring ride. It's like, oh, no.
I think it takes a time.
It's like, yeah, and especially in England, people really like to knock MotoGP quite a lot of the time, and they can find it. Well, in Britain, we've had no success in MotoGP for 30 years. Even a Grand Prix winner.
Yeah.
We haven't had a rider for 30 years. Barry Sheen, 1981, was the last one to win a Grand Prix. So there's a lot of focus on World Superbike where Britons have success. So people do tend to knock MotoGP. They think it's this sort of... holier than holier above everything else type attitude from it. And that's really not true.
That's very British, though, isn't it?
It is very British, you're absolutely right. It's so, so British, isn't it? And I think sometimes people don't realise that the standard for being MotoGP, just how good the riders are. They are so fast.
I was in Turn 5 watching Casey Stoner going through that. It is just
awesome, isn't it? Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's right. And listening to Ben Bostrom yesterday just talk about being able to ride in the race and ride at this level is just fantastic, and how he admires all of these riders.
Now even more.
He's done okay though, isn't he? But I think he's done really well. And for him to have to hop onto one bike and another must be really hard, because the characteristics of the two bikes, the tyres and everything else, very, very hard. And for most people, just concentrating on a MotoGP weekend is enough. He knows the bike and he knows Laguna, but it must be really tough.
Yeah. And they only had one bike this week.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, they like riding in Moto 2 or 125s. You crash, the first thing you think, you don't think about yourself, you think about the bike. Can you get it back? Yeah. Two, can you mend it? If you can't, your session or your qualifying, and getting a scuppered, and you see people there.
I'm sure that in the garage is that one bike that's being worked on based on the data.
Oh, that's right. And of course, flag to flag races, race-wise, not here. So not here. A lot of places we go to, flag to flag races, they've got the bike set up for, if it's a dry race for wet conditions, and vice versa, if it's wet for dry conditions. So there's a chance they have to come in and swap bikes. They won't be able to do that, but here is probably okay. And one would imagine it's not going to rain. Yeah,
it would be epically strange.
We were talking about this, and I've been to, I think the only time I missed it was 94. Has it ever rained here when we've been? I was racking the brain. I can't remember it. We've had the misty old wet conditions in the mornings, but I don't think it's actually what you call rainy. We were thinking about that this morning, and somebody would prove there was a shower at some time, but it just doesn't rain
during a race.
I used to come here
like mid-90s.
Yeah.
Superbikes.
Yeah. And then, of course, the first Grand Prix here, wasn't it? Yeah. Awesome, wasn't it? Certainly didn't rain in any of those, I'm sure.
But we had that insanely hot one.
Yeah.
2006, remember that?
Yeah.
When Rossi blew his engine.
That's right. It's a great place to come to. We love coming here. We've had six races in 8 weeks, so everybody is a little bit weary. This is a joy for us.
Are you going to take some time up here? Are you going to stay?
No, I'm going to go home, because it's quite strange. I was just laughing with Gavin there. I've had the longest conversation with my wife about buying a new carpet for the lounge. Seen it for 2.5 weeks or something, on the phone. I'm talking about discussing the money quite strongly. It's 11:15 at night there, and I'm here, and we're having this really serious discussion. Can we afford the new carpet? And then, but that's what it's like when you're on the road all the time.
I was just texting my wife about the loan broker that we're talking to.
That's right. Life has to go on, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's interesting here because there's no 125s or Moto 2 as well. So actually, our job is comparatively easy here compared with the normal. We normally commentating all the time. Right. Here, it's not quite the same.
What is the reason why they don't come here?
I think it was when they first came back here, they wanted to tie it in with the AMA, the Superbike Championship. Right. I think that's the way, financially and every other way, they find it can be done.
They only have so many weekends that they can actually have MotoGP here. Because
of the sound. The noise. So that's good. We do go to Indianapolis, so they do get 125 and Moto 2 there. They'd be great here, wouldn't they?
Pretty great.
McCain, another thing we were just discussing here, sidecars here. I can remember sidecars here, and we couldn't remember the years, but we did find out in the end. I can remember sidecars coming here with the World Championship.
There's actually a movement to bring some sidecar racing back.
Is there really? We had sidecars in the Saxon Ring to run in conjunction with the World Tour. They had their World Championship to run the same. It was great number of sidecars.
Sidecars at Saxon Ring. The monkey must be like...
He was having to work very, very hard indeed, I can assure you. But this is the only time we run with sidecars now. It's a changing world, isn't it? 30 years ago, certainly in Europe, sidecars were very, very big indeed.
It's a change. We got the e-power bikes.
The new technology. It's important with the championship the way it is to keep up with the times, isn't it? That's how you've got to do it. Some of the changes people don't like. The demise of the two strokes, that's going to be it. Indianapolis will be the last time in the States, the UFC two strokes. But Moto 3 probably, in similar way to Moto 2, it is the way of the future. The two strokes were proving far, far too expensive. Very limited supply, and the one supplier was charging a lot of money to supply.
It's just so exotic.
They're absolutely right. But financially, it was becoming an impossible situation. Moto 2 has just proved an amazing championship. Yeah, absolutely stunning championship. Yeah, and I would think Moto 3 will attract engine manufacturers as well as chassis manufacturers. I think it would be very good.
Definitely. I mean, Moto 2 right now is, because last year there was a little bit of this randomness in the racing.
Yeah.
Whereas this year there's definitely, like, I think the some of the riders are starting to understand the chassis and the quality of the engine.
I think you're right.
Because the same guys are up there every race.
More than last year. There's the Marquez's, and there's the, of course, Bradley, who's leading the championship. Bradley Smith, of course, is a great hope from England. Had a fantastic first season in Moto 2. But more and more, they're the guys that are up there all the time. But then, you still get a few wild lines thrown in there, don't you? Germany? Randy Krummenacher came from nowhere, didn't he? Could have finished on the podium. Andrea Iannone, he's won a race this year. You never know quite what's going to happen. Yoni Hernandez. They're still being thrown in there, but Marquez and Bradle, I'd say that they're two real class actors. Really, Bradle is the thinking man who doesn't take many risks, wins races when he has to, but again, will finish on the podium. Marquez is just blindingly fast. He was fast right from the word go, but crashed too much, but now settled into it. And if he'd have just had a couple of, one more race win at the beginning of the year, not crashed with it, I would think the championship would be very open. Now Bradle can still finish second in every race to Marquez and still win the championship, but Marquez is hot stuff. He looks absolutely destined for the next big name, I think, in MotoGP. And we've got the lad in the 125s, this Maverick Viñales, a 16-year-old Spaniard who looks where is he? We know where he's come from. He's come from the Spanish Championship, but he looks tremendous. And he's taking on the likes of Nico Tirol and people like that. They're very clever, very hard riding. He's beaten them. And can't see he's not going to be in. I suspect he'll say one more year in winter, but I don't know. Probably they wanted to win the championship. Marquez, will he stay one more year in Moto 2? Who knows? He may just move straight up.
If he doesn't win, he should probably stay. Huh?
Yeah, I would have thought so, but I think he's such on a career path that they're pushing him in as quick as they can. Yeah. He's got a younger brother who's very, very good as well. He rides on the Spanish championship.
Oh, yeah. I've one more question for you. So, Belgian Rossi has not lost, I mean, he has not had a season without a win since he entered GPs.
Who's this, sorry?
Rossi.
Yeah.
You know, and, I mean, we're actually going to have a season where he doesn't win. I mean, is there any track you think that he could possibly do it?
I don't think so.
Japan?
No, I don't think so. No, I think...
Is that going to be Australia? It's going to be super hot there.
I think it's...
Is that going to be Motegi?
Yeah, but I think Ducati have been really caught on the back foot by the progress the other factories have made.
Yes.
And, I mean, they're taking drastic steps now. I think they're taking the right steps. I think they've realised that... throw everything in at it now, the 11.1, the TP 11.1 bike, and go for it and try and develop it ready for next season. I think it'd be really hard for Rossi to win a race, really hard.
Yeah.
But again, we were talking about it on the commentary just now, don't rule him out for any other year.
Well,
Rossi has not lost any of his enthusiasm and not lost any of his ability.
I can tell he's looking very hard out there.
Yeah, that's right. I think that they really have been caught cold, really. And I suppose, in many ways, it just shows what an amazing job Casey Stoner has been doing for Ducati.
Yeah,
I think
this is the real proof.
It's really illustrated just what a fantastic job he did.
Yeah.
And I would have bet my house on Stoner running away with the championship after Silverstone. And, I would have definitely been my him and Pedrosa. Actually, I thought Pedrosa was going to have a great season, and after he won in Estoril, Pedrosa was so pumped up, so happy with life. You know, he was fit, he was winning races, everything was just great for him. And then the moment he's a Stoner of Pedrosa again, he gets knocked by quite a few people, you know. He is what a tough guy, Danny Pedrosa. What he's taken, what his body has taken, what mentally and physically, what he's gone through. And he still comes back for more and still wins races.
That's the Pang race, like, was it 2006-2007 when he broke his foot and he raced on that?
That's right.
He's never shied away. There was one time where, was it 2 years ago when he came here and decided not to race after the free practice one? They're people talking,
he took a bit of stick because he didn't come back straight away after the Le Mans accident, but he'd had, what, 4 operations this year already?
That's amazing.
Mentally and physically, he did exactly the right thing to wait and just really...
He took one race to kind of get...
Mugello, what was he, 8th in Mugello, 7th or 8th, just to get back to the field of it. And Saxon Ring, and had a massive crash at Saxon Ring in the morning, morning. Right. Most people, that would have been enough, but they said, come on, that's it.
I think it
shook Casey up an awful lot. It took a long time to recover till probably the final 10 minutes of that practice set, qualifying on the Saturday to sort of get back to the right sort of rhythm.
Amazing.
I wouldn't rule him out here either.
He was like second the first time he came out here.
Yeah, he was. And then he was leading last year and he crashed, didn't he? Lorenzo was doing a bit of a Rossi on him, pushing him hard from behind all the time. The second half of the season is going to be more like Mugello and the Saxon Ring rather than some of the other races we've had.
You know, actually, I saw a statistic that this guy has a really neat website where he does all sorts of statistics, pulls them off the MotoGP website, and crunches numbers. Until Mugello, the average lead between the average time between first and second is 10 seconds.
Well, that's big, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Sometimes it's so much nicer when it doesn't happen. But every race has a story, doesn't it? I mean, Aston, okay, Ben Spies ran away with it. That was his first win. He rode it, an immaculate race there, didn't he? So smooth, difficult conditions, just rode brilliantly. But really, it was all happening at the third bend with Cimicelli when it pulled Ben, when he hit Lorenzo. Yeah, some of the press conferences have been more interesting than some of the races.
I know.
Lively old press conferences, yeah.
They're still going on with this.
And I'll tell you, there's some more to come as well, I think. Yeah, with various subjects to be discussed in the next few weeks. Obviously, that's going to be very, very interesting indeed. Obviously, Japan, that's going to be a very, very interesting subject. And we've just got to wait and see what's going to happen there.
This is maybe a stupid question, but why does Casey not like being followed around so much? When he's being drafted, it takes away from his concentration.
Casey is a very, and always has been, very strong-minded, very angry, and I think...
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I wonder. I worry about it. Yeah, but it messes him up. There's been some interesting incidents this year. I do honestly believe, I think the second half of the season we'll be really concentrating on some good races. And first day here, you get the feeling nobody's got away, have they? I mean, it doesn't often happen, but you get the feeling, we had a good look at the times at the end of that second session, Lorenzo's lap times. Very fast, very consistent. So he may be the men to beat, but if we know that Pedrosa and Stoner can put those sort of extra performances on when it really matters, so, who knows? Yeah, it should be good.
Be good. All right. Yeah. Great. Thanks very much.
Yeah, you're ever so welcome. Thank you.
Yeah.
This show is kind of a funky show because both Jim and I, had to go immediately back to work, and it's been a kind of a crazy week. So I'm still kind of recovering from the entire Laguna Seca plus work, things that happened at work, and if the enthusiasm isn't 100% there, it's not because there wasn't the enthusiasm. It's more like
we're both still worn out, frankly.
Big time. I'm getting too old for this shit.
But it was fantastic, and I spent most of Saturday and Sunday, running around, besides being sociable and hanging out with everybody and kind of in my new incognito way, just trying to grab interviews here and there, and we got a whole bunch of very quick ones. And Jules, you want to run through three or four of these and then come back and we can chat about other stuff? And you might want to name some of them off if you're going to move them in that quickly.
Yeah, you bet. Some of them didn't get intros. Although I'm sure everybody's going to recognize some of these voices. These start after qualifying. So we've got Livio Supo, Cal Crutchlow, Lucio Cicinello, and then as we were leaving, we saw Hiroshi Aoyama walking around, kind of. It's funny how some of these riders don't get any recognition at all,
Yeah.
It's like there's all these fans waiting for, even Dovizioso, and there's Carol Abraham, Hiroshi Aoyama, and people have no clue who they are. Anyway, so we caught up with Aoyama to talk to him for a bit. And then you talk to Tony Elias, and it's...
Yeah, it starts off with him really kind of super, super down.
Yeah.
And then I kind of launched into a question that brought him back up.
Yeah, man, did he wake up?
Yeah, and it seemed to bring him out. So let's roll those, and then we'll come back again.
Cool.
Qualifying was an interesting affair.
It has been the whole sessions has been a kind of battle between Jorge Dani and Casey. They seems to have a little bit more than anybody else here, and the gap has been very close the whole weekend. Congratulations to Jorge, because after the crash of this morning, he did a great job.
The weather here has been absolutely special this weekend. It seems like Bridgestone has brought the proper rubber for the weekend.
Well, I think there's no big problem with this issue this weekend with the tires. They are doing a better job than before.
Yeah. Looking forward to a brilliant Sunday, the same type of weather?
Yeah, sure. Let's hope.
Cool. Cheers, man.
Thank you.
How do you think you were day one, brother?
Yeah, it's not too bad. Difficult, yeah. Especially around here, GP bike, and it would have been easy to come here on a superbike, I can tell you that, but to learn the circuit anyway, these guys are lap record pace every lap, and you're always trying to catch up, so yeah, next time I think it'll be a lot easier next time we come here.
If you place, you can find any tents come tomorrow?
I fucking hope so. No, we'll see. I just take it as it comes, and latch onto the guy in front, hopefully. And if I'm at the front, then there's something wrong.
How close is the bike to set up?
Yeah, no, we've still got a little bit. We'll look at the data this evening and see where we can go from there.
Anything you're getting from your buddy Colin?
Yeah, you know, but Colin's in the same boat at the minute. You know, we're both struggling a little bit, but we'll hopefully get there.
All right.
Cheers.
Jim Race for Motopod. Welcome back to California, sir.
Thank you.
Perfect weather now, isn't it?
Yeah, we are very happy. It's a little bit cold in the night, but it's really fine during the day.
Yeah, and you've got two riders here this weekend, and that's got to be kind of special for you.
Yeah, absolutely. We are very, very happy to... We decide, let's say, a few days before to come here to split the bike, our bikes, and in the last period, Tony is very much more focused. Our rider Tony Lees is very much more focused in work with one bike. So we had the other bike with not so many kilometers, with a lot of parts on stock. And then we decided together with one of our sponsors to make a special special things and to let the ride an American rider.
Having somebody of Ben Bostrom's sort of sportsmanship has to be great, because he certainly attracts a lot of fans, and he's very, very popular in America.
Yeah, I think that Ben also is very popular in Europe, because when he was riding for Ducati in the World Superbike, he did an excellent job, and he was always very, very nice with the fans. And he's just his personality, you know. It's really, really nice person, and it's really, really nice, really lovely to work with him.
Yeah. Looking at this year, it's been a tough year for you guys, and I can say that without making anything up. But how do you feel that you guys are working your way through the season? It's Tony seems to be coming around, as Tony does. What are you looking forward to, obviously, not only tomorrow, but for the rest of the season?
Well, in fact, it is a very tough season. We, after being quite competitive to be an independent team last year, always fighting for the first row or second row, and then fighting for the best... For the top 10, we decided to start with a new adventure with the Moto2 World Champion Tony Elias, and in somehow we couldn't find we didn't find until now the right bike setup for Tony, and it's really strange, because we don't know what is missed there, you know, because we have all the support from Honda, we have all the support from Bridgestone, we have all the support from the suspension maker Ohlins, and in somehow he still complain a lot regarding the front feeling, the rear grip. I believe that maybe there is something between the fact that the tire are, the Bridgestone tire now are developed in a very hard compound, very hard construction, and is light, is very light. His riding style do not give enough vertical force to the tire, and the tire doesn't eat enough. So we are really, really concerned about that.
So since we're going to have multiple compounds that you can actually choose from in Brno, come Brno, do you think there's a little bit of hope going forwards with the changes in the allocation of tires that you'll be allowed from Bridgestone to maybe help?
Absolutely. We are waiting for an official information. But of course we heard about that, and of course we fully support this possibility, because I think you know. Because we are making a lot of different bike setup, but we are not able to get out from this situation. I think that the key point is it's really the tire. That for Tony specifically doesn't work quite good. So this is very important for us. So hopefully in Brno we will be able to make a changement. In any case, we will continue to work very hard. We will also do our test in Brno on Monday after the race. Fully committed, fully, you know, continue to believe that we needed to find a way out, you know.
Grazie.
Thank you.
Jim Race for Motopod here with Hiroshi Ayama. It's been an interesting day for you. How are you looking forward to tomorrow? It's kind of a difficult qualifying.
Well, it was really difficult to try in this Laguna in past time. And today is second day for me, so second day was better than first day, and I hope tomorrow it's third day, so third day is better than second day. And the lap time was 1 minute 22, which is not too bad, but if I see the difference to the top riders, it's still a lot of a gap. So that means I have a lot of place to improve, which is good. So we see how much I can improve in the race. In the race, you know, I have some reference on the front, so I think I can improve a little bit more easier.
What do you think of the tires that Bridgestone brought out this weekend?
I think this week they brought extra soft end, which is working very, very well. And for us, we can use soft option, also hard option in the race. We will choose depend on the track condition tomorrow.
Okay. And with your qualification right now, do you expect with the weather tomorrow that you might be able to move towards the front fairly quickly?
I think from 14th place, it's important to make a good start and then try to catch up with the guys on the front. And of course, the weather, if the weather is going to be hot and hot, it's for me it's even better. And also, we have to think about this racetrack. We make 32 laps, quite a lot of laps. And I think consistency is very, very important for the race, and I try to focus and try to make constant laps.
Okay. Best of luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
Jim Race here for Motopod with Tony Liss in the LCR Honda tent. It's getting a little warm, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of warm, but it's a nice track, nice fans, and I'm glad to be here.
You like to come to Laguna Seca? Do you enjoy the circuit?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite tracks. It's the kind of track, if you have everything, the setup is perfect, you can enjoy a lot. But in my situation right now, it's difficult. I enjoy. I try to have the motivation to ride here, to ride in this track. And feel the feelings give me this track, and that's it.
Do you actually see maybe with the temperature that we have and the tires that Bridgestone has brought, that might be easier to get some heat in today?
I think depends about the tire we choose. I think we will choose the soft one, because always is what is better for us. But some riders will choose the hard one, and the race is long, and I think will be option for everybody.
Are you feeling good today, though? Ready to go? Happy, kind of?
No, well, not happy, and maybe not ready as I want, because 2 years ago here I was running in 22. This year it's a tough year for me. Coming from being Moto2 world champion, now I don't like being in the last positions, and this year I'm running in 24. It's a big difference compared to 2009, and I don't like this. Then anyway, I will try to enjoy the race, fight a lot, and I hope get a good result.
Let me ask you a question on a purely speculative basis. How would you like to rent a Moto2 bike around this place?
Wow, I think can be very nice. Very nice for the fans, but also for Moto2 riding style here. It's a very, very good circuit. Now you are used to see only 18 riders in MotoGP. I think it's very spectacular when you see the first lap of Moto2 with 44 riders coming out
on corkscrew, I think could be very, very nice.
Going into turn two here, though, which is always a classic sort of crash fest, even in an 18-rider MotoGP grid, can you imagine 44 riders going into turn two here?
I think could be very, very dangerous, but very funny.
just speculative. All right. Thank you, Tony. I hope you have a great day.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Okay, so those were that was Lucas Ipocal, Kuslow, Patricio Janelo, Hiroshi Ayama, and Tony Elias. Thanks for talking to us.
Absolutely.
And then I caught up with a couple of journalists, both Italian and English-speaking press, kind of cornered Valentino Rossi at one point. So this is just an excerpt of that I found interesting.
Sicuramente è molto meglio perché sennò partire sempre da laggiù in fondo si fa una fatica incredibile. Terza fila addirittura, cioè, non so come mi troverò. Terza fila, così poca gente davanti, ecco. Guarda, cioè, ci sono anche il secondo gruppetto di quelli davanti che come passo non sono così lontani, però noi dobbiamo cercare di fare un po' meglio se vogliamo stare con loro. At the end, he's a good qualifier for us because he's the best qualifier of the season. He's not so bad. This morning we did a great improvement, and we expect to be faster also in the afternoon. But at the beginning of the practice, I had a lot of problem with the hard tire to ride. In fact, I am very sore. And it's a surprise a bit that give to us a bit of confusion, but fortunately Jerry makes some modified that provide me better grip, so I can push with the soft tire and make a lot better than in the last race, so I can start in the third row. That for sure will be easier, but we need to make work better the hard rear, because I don't have enough grip, and that I think that maybe the hard rear is good for the race, so we have to improve, because also Aiden and Barbera about race pace are a bit better than us.
What was the modifier?
No grip, so different in the suspension. Try to make the bike a bit easier, because at the beginning of the practice very bad. Yeah, this morning was better, but this afternoon push. I don't have grip.
So
this morning we modify the weight. We try to increase the weight on the rear, because yesterday I had no rear grip. And in fact, work this morning I did some better lap. I can ride better the bike. We make a quite big modify, and we continue this afternoon. So for tomorrow the setting is that. Now we only have to try to understand another step for the hard tire.
Getting back Jeremy with you. It's a
big help, because he have the idea. I make the modifier at the end of the practice because if not, maybe I have to start 12 or 13 another time. Jerry is in a good shape. We try to give as much as possible news and the feeling to the Ducati for the new bike, for the bike. And FGL is a good advantage. Yeah, I think yeah. We have to put the position in Germany, and we are in a better place. But we need to make another step for tomorrow, especially with the hard tire.
Thank you.
Half a second to the front five. Do you think you can make up that difference, or is it too much?
Well, we can improve. We can make the distance less, but I think anyway, to arrive to fight with the guys is difficult.
And then we start on Sunday, and I love the fact that you grabbed Gavin Emmett and asked him for his predictions. So here are his predictions, which were actually quite wrong.
Gavin Emmett.
Hello.
Picks for today.
Picks for today. I don't think you can look beyond Lorenzo and Pedrosa, to be honest. Pedrosa will always surprise us, so who knows? I reckon he could have something up his sleeve, but Lorenzo's been so consistently quick. That crash yesterday will be at the back of his mind, and he'll be up there. If Stoner can get involved and Spies can get there in front of them, who knows? Could be like 2008, where Rossi was blocking him off all the time. But I fancy myself. My money's behind Lorenzo with Pedrosa running him close.
You think tire-wise, most everybody at the front's going to be picking the hards?
I think the front three may, but behind that, I'm pretty sure Ben Spies may go for the soft, and a few of the other guys behind will go for the soft tires as well.
Hmm.
Maybe the Ducatis as well. I know Rossi was struggling with the hards, like Stoner was. They just can't feel the grip with the front or rear when they got the hard tyres in, so it may be going with that soft tyre and seeing how long it lasts, but it should go. Yeah. It's a bit of a gamble, but why not? You've got nothing to lose, have you?
All right, well, go up and watch King Kenny do his lap on the YZR 500, and we'll talk to you later.
Looking forward to it. Going around the track, I'm missing the sound of those 500s.
Do you think he's going to pin it?
I thought about pinning it, but he had a good go with the M1 yesterday. He said he almost lost it then, so I'm sure he'll give it a good go, put on a good show for everyone.
All right, mate, cheers.
See you later.
A whole bunch of thanks to Gavin Emmett for that bit. We were running about a bit, trying to make sure that he got on the air in time. And then Mark Miller interviewed me. This was a pre-bit that we did prior to the GP. We'll have a whole bunch more with Mark next week with GP stuff as well as electric power. So let's roll into that, Jules, and we'll come back once again.
Well, before we roll into that, I did want to say that that was probably one of the highlights for the weekend, and I'm sure to a lot of the listeners was meeting up with Mark. I mean, this interview kind of shows you it was like the whole time, you know. the guy's just really interesting to talk to and freaking hilarious.
For me, it was I was stoked to have him at the race. He was stoked to be there. It was kind of a great counterpoint to the TT show that we did back then. But I mean, it's really not hanging out with Mark is not a show thing. It's basically like
he's just a good guy.
Yeah, we just have a fucking great time, and so always fun to have around. It was great to have him interact with everybody at the meetup, and I think for everybody that had the opportunity to meet him, it was very cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is Mark Miller speaking like Greg White. No, I changed that. Let me try it again. Take two. Pick up.
This is Mark Miller for MotoPodcast.com here with Jim Race on speed.
No. Jim Race, Laguna Seca, MotoGP, just had the DMG race Sunday afternoon. Could not be better weather, a little breeze. Been fun. We've had a couple beers last night, had some awesome food. Been wandering about. What is your take on the 2011 Laguna Seca MotoGP by Red Bull?
You know, as usual, anytime I come here, I have a brilliant time. We've had some exceptional weather here, obviously, as you mentioned. It's actually going to be a little bit hot today, I think. But so far, it's been fantastic. We had some brilliant hosting by David Shiverdi of Flat Track Riders last night in a sort of serendipitous pickup. Had a great time at the meetup, actually both meetups yesterday, both the Motopod one and Andrew Wheeler's. So far, I'm having a fun freaking time. I love coming here.
There was an absolute sea of people at Cannery Row last night. I could not believe it.
Yeah. I usually don't go down there. In fact, it's been 9 years since I've been down there, and it used to kind of bug me, and in the way it still did a bit last night. We bopped around. We went to a brilliant Persian restaurant. Tried to go to a comedy show, but I think the comedy show was all about us because we were far funnier in person than what was going on. Still.
Nice. Self-professed. I thought it was cool also meeting up with some of the MotoPodcast fans, if you will, the listeners.
Yeah.
Yesterday, that was cool to meet some people face to face that, you know, you don't know, but they kind of, you know, you know. Well, you've said before that it's, you know, people approach you and think they know you.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
I think you were a little bit surprised, weren't you, that people actually paid that much attention to the show, that people knew, sort of recited things back that you'd said in the past. And we're that tight. And I do have to give a special shout out to the gentleman, and I'm sorry if I forgot your name, and I shouldn't because we've got email from you in the past.
What a dickhead.
For handing over a signed copy of Ron Haslam's book, signed by both Leon and Ron. And, excuse me, that was special because I had just talked to Leon earlier this year, last year, just before he was going out to do a chat with his dad. So thank you so much.
Good stuff.
So right now it is straight up noon, and we've got about an hour and a half before MotoGP gets off.
All right. So, and then you did a couple of interviews post-race, which why don't you go through those?
All right. So we'll do a couple of more interviews here. And, you know, these are a bunch of short bits, but I think they're very cool. Kind of give you a flavor of post-race and how things are going. First off, Paul Denning, had a bit of a chat with him, and there was kind of a bit of an enlightening thing from earlier today or yesterday. I'm not even sure. Jules, time seems to be flying by. There was a press release that came out from Team Suzuki, which is an arm that sort of covers all the Suzuki press media, about Motul. And they kind of alluded to Rizzo Suzuki being back next year on the thousands. And so my sort of pseudo prediction was maybe Hopper on a thou. Resign Hopper. And you can resign as long as you've had them in the past. Bautista perhaps on an 800, not even sure. Have to see what they bring back for next year, if it's going to happen. But it's a little bit prescient because Paul Denning said to me, as you'll hear in the interview, something that was a little odd and kind of cool. Tom Tremaine, Bridgestone, the top Bridgestone guy, the press officer for Bridgestone. We had a good long chat. I think you guys will enjoy that, talking about a bunch of stuff. And I made a tactical error as far as when the announcement had occurred. And then a sort of outside listening chat with Nicky Hayden, but I did get a chance to ask him a question because the man was certainly sounded down. So listen into this, and once again, we'll be back. I hope you guys aren't getting exhausted yet.
Jermaine's here for Motopod with Paul Denning of Suzuki and Crescent Suzuki as well, which is kind of a little bit of a flip here. You've got Hopper coming at the next race, don't you?
At Bruneau, yeah. Looking forward to it. And he's performed superbly well in the British Superbike Championship this year. Did a good job for us in Jerez when he substituted for Alvaro on the Grand Prix bike. And he knows Grand Prix bikes, he knows the Bridgestone tyres, and he loves the Bruneau track, so it's going to be a big ask to be fully competitive, but the bike's developing well now, and I think everybody should be prepared to be pleasantly surprised. I think he'll do okay.
Cool. But in the here and now, we are here at Laguna Seca. We just finished off the GP. Alvaro Bautista finished, what was his finishing position? I didn't quite...
Which was in the gravel track.
Ah, that's right. Not the best result, but the Bridgestone seemed to work pretty well this weekend. At least for you guys, did they not? Or were you having some tire trouble, maybe?
No, we didn't really have any tire trouble. We chose the same tyre combination as quite a few guys, yeah, with the stiffer front and the softer rear. We just started 12th, and you've always got to push hard when you're that far back. And he rode a good few laps, got up to 9th place right on the... 8th place right on the tail of the two Ducatis, the factory boys, and looked like he was going to be in a big fight with those boys for the rest of the day. And he went faster in the race than he did in qualifying. Everything looking good, but just pushed a little bit too hard and lost the front. And these things happen, and that's racing, but it's a shame when you've only got one rider, all your focus goes there.
Sure.
And so it's disappointing when something like that happens. But there were a lot of positives from the weekend. We raced well in Sachsenring a week ago. Again, showed a lot of competitiveness here. We're getting closer and closer to the pace of the front group, and we'll just keep pushing hard and try and bridge that gap.
It does seem like Alvaro's actually gaining confidence as the season goes on. He gets better results. The question is, can he keep that going? And I guess the secondary question is, what are you guys going to do for next year? Do you know yet?
Well, regarding his confidence, yes, it's back now, and he's racing hard and pushing hard. The reason it's taken a while to come back was obviously the injury at the start of the year. It's a very, very badly broken femur, and physically took a lot to get over, but mentally probably even more. And he's right back now. Next year, no idea yet.
Still? At all. No?
Yeah. No. We're working hard on things, but unfortunately, if you hear something, let me know.
I will. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Cheers.
All right, so it looks like today actually was a brilliant day for Bridgestone. Seems like things worked out pretty well.
All weekend has been good for us, actually. We, as you may or may not know, we brought soft to slicks here this year, basically because of all the current talk about tyre warm-up, but also because, you know, this is so close to the coast here. You get the marine layer every morning. There was a 23 degrees Celsius difference in track temperature between the morning and the afternoon on Friday. I mean, that's huge. So we brought the softer slicks basically specifically for the morning. The surprise for us was that they actually lasted race distance. 12 of the 17 riders who started today used the softer rears. Ben used the softer rear to finish fourth overall, so, you know, clearly it was working in the race when the temperature was 44 degrees.
And I was looking at the tires in Parc Fermé, and they actually looked fairly clean. It looked like it was going to, you know, the right side of Colin's tire, or Ben's tire, not in Parc Fermé, was a little bit shredded. But otherwise, I think you guys did a great job this weekend.
Yeah, you know, I mean, honestly, the quality control is such now that we don't have problems the like that we might have 5 years ago, for example. You know, we don't have so much construction problems or anything like this anymore. But, you know, yeah, we're happy with tyre performance today for sure. You know, Casey made a really good use of his today. He was remarkably consistent. Between lap 3 and 29, I think he did 17 laps in the 1 minute 21 bracket, which is fantastic, you know, considering yesterday he was a little bit worried about his race pace. And actually the total race time was quicker this year than it was last year, even with a softer slick. So, yeah, we're happy. Rider feedback has been good all weekend. You got people like Colin saying that it was great. It was definitely the right thing to do to bring the softer slicks this weekend. Valentino also said, you know, a big thanks because the softer slicks are working better here than last year when we had the harders. So yeah, we're pleased with this weekend.
Any trepidation going into Brno with the new allocation?
You know, I think it'll work well in Brno. It's what the riders want. The riders have already agreed to it. The situation as it stands at the moment is that we've proposed these changes to the GP Commission. The riders are in agreement. They've all, you know, as far as the safety commission is concerned, they've approved the changes. So, yes, we need to wait for Brno to see what the situation will be, things like temperature, things like weather condition. But we have no reason to have any worries about going in there. Essentially, what we are doing is giving everybody one extra softer rear and a softer spec front, which, you know, can only serve to give them better performance in the morning. So, you know, we're pretty confident that the changes we proposed will be exactly what the riders want come Brno.
Is there, I believe the contract is up at the end of this year or next year?
The existing single supply contract is up at the end of this year, but actually we've already signed for another 3 years. So basically the 3 years of the 1000cc era.
Is that a scoop?
No. That was something, when did we announce that? I forget now, but it was a few months ago, good few months ago. It's something that Dorna wanted us to do. It's something that the riders and teams are very supportive of. You know, we are single supplier, or we were single supplier from 2009 because the teams wanted us to be, the riders wanted us to be. So it's something they were very supportive of. It also gives them a known entity when they're developing their 1000cc bikes. They know that, yes, we're going to make some changes to tyres next year, but every team has now got 3 years experience working with Bridgestone at least. Yes, there are going to be some more teams coming next year, but to know that they are continuing to use Bridgestone helps with their testing schedules as well.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Did a big step, but I'm not sure what they're working on Ducati. I know they're working. I mean, you know, they're building new bikes. That's what's in my team. You know, they built me GP11s, new bikes, and then they shipped them here and tore up bikes yesterday. Everybody's working hard, but sometimes it don't hard work alone, I think, in the long run pay off. But at the moment, we're not getting, I think, what we deserve, and it's pretty tough. I mean, this is the worst finish I've ever had at Laguna by a long way, I think.
What's it going to take to get to that next group? I mean, that's what Valentino said, the first goal is to get up with Spies, Dovi, and Simoncelli.
I thought maybe I had a chance today. Obviously, crashing and qualifying didn't, you know, help complicate things. But they were 10 seconds in front of us, so you know, that's, we can manage that gap, you know, with the bike we got. So
from following him for all those laps, did you see anything that bike did?
They're different, but not a lot in them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple places, obviously, where the gearbox accelerates harder and a little bit smoother. There's one place leaned over in the back. I could clearly see that better, but I can't say that bike was any better. He didn't beat, you know, I told the team, it didn't beat me because all that bike, you know, it's the new bike or something.
Is there anything your old bike does better than the new bike?
Well, we know our old bike better, and there was a few places I was a little bit better on the brakes.
Oh, you did?
Getting in deeper, more stable.
It's a limited number of the new bikes. Is there any discussion in the team about overtaking? We saw some interesting passes today.
About overtaking?
Overtaking, sorry, between you and Valentino.
Hard racing. I've never even heard him mention that.
So one crashes, then go to the next race, one short bike, or is enough time between hours?
Oh yeah, our parts guy's about to pull his hair out because we got three bikes apiece here. You know, at a flyaway race when they had to pack and ship not just enough parts for two riders, they had to do double. You know, enough parts for two riders and two bikes. You know, like I said, they're clearly making parts, making frames, middle season, so
I broke my back.
We can manage.
Hey, Nick, you were dancing on the Superbike grid watching AMA, watching Tommy.
Yeah, that was a really good race, really good. Glad we get to take one trophy home. I mean, I love good racing, and I mean, God, I don't want to be greedy, but Raj, you know, it's like a battle for the lead and a battle for Raj. I'd never seen Raj get on the podium, so that would have been nice. Josh, I mean, you know, he's not going to make it easy on anybody, and turn 10 is a place you didn't expect it, and it was a really good race. Really good to see Tom win in a dogfight. I know those always feel a lot better than a just winning, so
Does it lighten the load a bit?
For a minute, yeah, I forgot about my bad day there. Those last couple laps was pretty intense, and no, it's like Tommy said on the podium, all of us here racing, my sisters went on the two-seater, my mom and dad was I was a good day for overall. I mean, I got beat bad, but overall we got one win out of the day, so
Rossi was kind of laughing about the inability to win a race this year. He said it's going to take snow or something like that. I sense it's probably not going down quite as easily with you, the lack of competitiveness.
Yeah, you know, 30 seconds today was big. Like I said, I never got seventh here on a bike I finished, I don't think, you know, without a problem on anything in my life. So it's, you know, it's tough, but I don't know what really to do. I mean, I guess sometimes you just take it on the chin and not laugh about it, but yeah, I don't. It's hard to put a positive spin on it, yeah. Dress it up, you know, a little bit, but.
Thank you. You won it twice, you didn't make it worse.
I'd say, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, to win here twice and then to be 30 seconds, I mean, that's half second or a second a lap, you know.
Do you feel like Laguna is starting to owe you at this point again?
I feel like those other 2 years were just so, I mean, they were so long ago.
Like ages ago.
Yeah, they feel like it.
Be back.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Jim. Those were great. I especially liked the way you kind of cheered made a positive spin on Nikki Hayden's weekend.
You got to keep these boys, you know, in the groove, man. and I hated seeing him down like that, and so bring him back up again. Jules, crazy weekend. What was the funnest part you had this weekend?
I was just thinking about that. Like there was. I wanted to give it a lot of shout-outs, too, like the people that I stayed with, because Adam Silver,
yeah.
Teddy, and AJ Rosinski, and Ian Taylor that I camped with. Some of those guys I camped with last year, and they're a total blast.
David Chiverity, who put both Mark and I up on Saturday night.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Christina Suar, the latest super fan, I think, was kind of present throughout the weekend.
And took a whole bunch of pictures of me that...
Oh, man. Those were quite fun, especially the one of you and Mark.
Yeah. Chris Grizzell.
What's that?
Chris Grizzell of DrippingWet.com.
Yes, exactly. I finally got to meet him in person. That was awesome.
Yep.
And we're not doing a race review because you got to talk to Dennis Noyes at the end. And the man just, I mean, it's not a long interview, but he really summed up this race extremely well. So we'll just we'll end the show with that.
Yeah, he did. He kicked ass and he was kind of dashing for a flight. But Dennis Noyes certainly knows how to bring things home. And those of you that haven't read his writings, you can do so on speeddv.com. Probably one of the best things that's there. Or one of the, I make a cracky comment, but I won't do it. But Dennis, take us out, and you and I, Jules, will roll us out at the end.
Cool.
Jim Race here with Dennis Noyes. Your impressions, your just general impressions from the weekend. I've had specifics from almost everybody else, but I really appreciate your rounding out of what was, to me, a fantastic MotoGP racing weekend, as well as AMA.
Yeah, we're getting used to 800cc racing just as it's starting to go away. Mm-hmm. We don't expect lots of overtaking, but we have the kind of tension that builds up. As in a Formula One race, you see somebody working and working and working, as Lorenzo was, to make the pass. He was racing against two crippled guys today.
Yeah.
Danny was strong. Obviously, he won in Germany. But in Germany, even though the only thing that's similar about these two tracks, people talk about Laguna and Sachsenring as if they were similar because they're kind of twisty and nasty. But in actual fact, Germany gives you a chance to rest.
Sure.
That going down the hill looks scary, but once you're on a bike doing it, it just all it does is makes the straightaway, although it's short, it seems shorter because you're going downhill, so you're picking up more speed. But you can actually rest a little bit there. And then on those three left-handers, basically you just adopt the same posture on the bike,
right,
and just hang off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like... And that's what Lorenzo said, when he was racing there. He was giving trouble. He was having trouble with his forearm because he wasn't changing his posture that much. But Danny said, coming here, I was okay in Germany, but I'm going to hurt in Laguna because Laguna, with the corkscrew, with the changes from left to right, it's much more of a lot more of acrobatic.
English?
I was going to say acrobatia. You have to be a bit of an acrobat, a little more acrobatics on the bike.
Are you thinking Spanish now?
Only when I get lost. when I'm speaking English, I'm thinking English. Anyway, and there really isn't such a thing anymore as a Yamaha track.
Right. Used to be.
Yeah, and I think the Czech Republic coming up. The reason there isn't any such thing as a Yamaha track is because the Hondas can win anywhere.
Right.
This pass... And that's what we were building up to. The pass that decided the race, because Jorge was, his tongue was out. He was exhausted, but he was going to fight and try to hold the lead till the end. Once Stoner passed him, he was done. After that big crash the other day,
sure.
He didn't take any injections before he went out. As far as painkillers,
he fought back as much as he could.
Yeah. But the thing is, that was not a pass on the brakes. That was a motor pass.
Yeah.
And what Stoner finally did was he was smarter this time. When he raced Rossi in 2008, he kept trying to fight Rossi on the brakes every time, spoiling his own drive and letting Rossi lead him into turn one, into turn two actually. Here, the Andretti turn, but here he closed up from the corkscrew. He left the corkscrew. Lorenzo had an advantage, but he closed up nice on the brakes because he was just worrying about corner speed, getting out of the corner good, wide line on the outside, up on the curb. Got past Lorenzo and then moved over and chopped him up just a bit. It was clean, just enough to make Jorge mad in the press conference. And then after that, Jorge, was done.
Yeah.
Now we go to the Czech Republic. That's a Biaggi track, the old time Biaggi track. It's a smooth rider track where since the Honda now works good on the brakes, it corners well. It doesn't tear its tires up. At least it didn't today. if you've got an advantage in horsepower, you're always going to have a slight advantage. Yamahas have won there with Rossi and Lorenzo. Ducati's won there. Honda haven't won during the 800cc era.
Right.
But the Hondas have not been as good ever as they are right now. So I think one place where the Hondas are going to have an advantage is coming up what I call horsepower hill. That final climb before the final chicane, it'll be a good race. But from here on out, there are a few tracks that are really going to favor the Hondas. And Jorge goes away from here knowing that he left some balls on the table here, you know, that he really needed to,
Interesting turn.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think he left much on the track. What I'm talking about, he didn't run the table.
Sure.
And he needed to run the table on these twisty tracks in order to
secure something at least keep it tight.
He's going to get blown away in a few places. Malaysia for sure. If he goes to Motegi's stop and go. So,
What do you think about the whole Motegi situation?
I don't think Jorge's going to go, and I don't think Casey's going to go because they've backed themselves into a corner. Besides that, with the points lead they've got, what I told Jorge was if you're not going to go to Japan, make sure if you watch the race on TV, you've got Lorenzo or that you've got Stoner sitting on the couch with you because otherwise he's not going to pop up on TV.
Yeah, that'll work.
Okay?
You got to go.
Yeah, I got to go.
Cheers. Thanks, Dennis.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right.
All right. Well, son of a bitch, Jules. That was a bit. I know. What do you say about that? All right, many, many thanks to Dennis Noyes. Very cool. Dennis, you rock, dude. We'll have a whole bunch more stuff for you guys next week. A bunch of electric stuff from Laguna Seca, and I know there's some of you out there that are really, really into that, as we were, and it was a great, great race. Looking forward to, focusing on Silverstone this weekend with World Superbike, and I'll see if I can't pull you guys some interviews from that. But, Jules, this should be a kick-ass show, and I'm looking forward to hearing it myself. I know that you're going to produce the crap out of it, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, set me up for failure. As you were saying, that we're going to have coverage of the electric bike races next time around. Some more stuff with Jim and Mark goofing around and being serious occasionally. Thank you very much for listening and downloading the show.
Absolutely. And don't forget to pay attention to us on Facebook. And a brilliant week. And I'm really looking forward to listening to the show, Jules.
Cool, man.
Right on. Rock on, guys.
All right. Ciao.
Do both hands. All right, I'm watching the kids. Yeah.